Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right, well, welcome back to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. It's me, your friendly Casual Comics guy, Joe, and today it's me and Jeff.
Hi, everybody.
And it's just a bachelor party living it up. No Michael, no Mark, no co-hosts. It's just straight into the comic madness, Jeff.
How are you feeling? The boys are back in town, baby.
You're
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're like repping DC here again with your Metropolis, Illinois shirt. What's the Metropolis, Illinois all about?
Have you never been to Metropolis, Illinois?
I've never been to Metropolis, Illinois. You got to fill me in on this.
Oh, my God. It's Superman's hometown, right? So there's this tiny, tiny, tiny little town in southern Illinois that it was named Metropolis. And they're like, well, we're just going to go ahead and claim that. And they've got a Superman museum there. They've got a huge statue of him in the town square.
Okay.
I'm waiting. Awesome, awesome place to go.
I'm waiting, Jeff.
You're waiting for?
For you to tell me that they went the full 9 yards, which makes no sense because the first down in football is 10 yards. I never got the full, the whole 9 yards. Did they rename their newspaper the Daily Planet?
I don't know. I mean, it's such a tiny town that if they have a newspaper, it's probably more of a pamphlet.
Metropolis, Indiana, yeah. Or Metropolis, Illinois. I'm calling them out publicly. If you have not yet, you need a newspaper. And if you need a publisher for that newspaper, I'm your guy.
It's a great place. And they have this wonderful museum that is packed with all kinds of really cool Superman memorabilia.
Is there any kryptonite on display?
There might be. Maybe.
I'm hoping for movie props from like the 1978 TV series.
Are you kidding me? There's costumes.
Movie. I said TV
series. Oh, yeah. No, there's light. Marlon Brando's life mask is there. George Reeves' life mask is there. It's amazing.
You're blowing my mind, Jeff. I have to go to Metropolis, Illinois.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Let's do a live podcast from there. Let's meet there. I'll drive. I'm in Columbus. You're in Omaha. It's got to be about halfway between us.
Roughly.
We'll meet there. Live podcast from Metropolis.
See if we can talk to anybody passing by. There might be one or two people middle of the day walking around.
It's got to be their gig if this is their thing. I mean, if they're selling t-shirts.
Oh, no, there's a whole gift shop. This is the thing that they trade on, and they have Superman Festival every year, and they've had notable Superman related people at this festival over the years. And we were honest to God, we were driving out to the East Coast and we're driving through Southern Illinois, and I'm looking at the map and I about gave my wife a heart attack because she was driving. I'm like, Metropolis, Illinois, right there. We haven't scheduled a stop. No, we're stopping. And we did. And it was wonderful. It was a whirlwind tour of the Superman Museum.
I was going to say people are going to think that I'm acting surprised, like I've never heard of this before. But this is literally, I never have heard of this before. And we couldn't have prepared for this because we didn't do any preparation for this podcast at all. That's a great way to kick off. And then just as we were getting on this, and starting up the equipment, you told me there's some comic book movie news that I haven't quote heard about. You're like, hear?
It's all in the ears.
Yeah.
Because they don't show anything. Have you seen the new Doctor Strange trailer that debuted on the big game?
Yes. I saw it.
Did you listen very carefully?
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about the Patrick Stewart?
No, no spoilers.
I didn't say anything about Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, baby.
I love it. They're going to cross over the Star Trek and Marvel universes finally.
No. Illuminati.
The Marvel Illuminati. You act like you've read the Illuminati.
I have no clue what that is, but I just know that. I just know that that he's going to be in it, although he's denying he's playing coy right now.
if it's true, if they ever go there in the Marvel Universe, the Illuminati, we'll go back and read that series. We'll cover it. The Illuminati is like the brain trust of the Marvel Universe, who you find out the heroes that have been meeting behind the scenes. And it's like the smartest and most powerful heroes, as you would imagine, like Mr. Fantastic, super smart, Black Panther, King of Wakanda, Namor, ruler of the underseas, Doctor Strange, ruler of the, you know,
Tony Stark.
Mystical, whatever, Tony Stark, yeah. It's Professor X, mutants, right? You know, so it's representing all of the different constituencies of the Marvel Universe. And they've been
cool
behind the scenes meeting and planning things, which leads to directly into World War Hulk, which they're never going to make into movies or TV shows. Well, you know, they did make an animated World War Hulk, which I hear is really good and worth watching.
Yeah.
But they kind of leverage that storyline already in Thor Ragnarok of the gladiatorial right. combat.
Right. So how do you go back to that? Well,
you don't. Or you're Marvel and you just figure it out. You call it a different dimension and then you do it anyway.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome, I gotta admit.
Could be.
All right. But we're not here to talk about comic book news today because I didn't spend enough time researching comic book news. We're here to talk about the thing we actually did spend time on. It's not like I put no effort in. I put in a lot of effort into a very narrow topic today, which is a comic book publisher that many people may not be familiar with. I mean, everybody knows Marvel, everybody knows DC, some nerds, I don't mean nerds. Nerds know them all, but like some people may be vaguely familiar with Image. We talked about Saga and the heartburn mm-hmm. that the full frontal nudity caused people. Can you name any other comic book publishers? Not the one we're talking about today. You got Marvel, DC. I just mentioned Image.
Oh,
come on, Jeff.
No.
One more comic book publisher.
Todd McFarlane have his own company?
I do not know. I think he was one of the founders of Image, actually.
Well, I mean, I can name you a couple of different comic book companies, but they're from the 40s and they're defunct and DC now owns them. Fawcett Publications.
Fawcett. Who published the Richie Rich comics?
Gosh, Gold Key? I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say Gold Key. That's what I thought. I think, and then they had, gosh, we should do a podcast.
No, Harvey. Something. Harvey Comics.
Harvey.
Harvey for the win.
We got to get Michael to do the Harvey universe with us sometimes. You get
the
whole
Harvey verse.
You get the whole expanded, right? Name me. You could probably name more Harvey characters than you could name Marvel characters. I bet.
Well, you've got Richie Rich, and Richie then Rich. He dies, and he becomes Casper.
Right?
Because he looks exactly the same.
And you get Super Rich.
Yeah.
Which is Richie Rich when he has superpowers, and Cadbury is superpowers as well.
Gotcha.
Little Lotta, right?
Little Lotta.
Dot.
Who?
Dot. Little Lotta's friend Dot, who wears a polka dot dress all the time. Okay, hot stuff. You got hot stuff.
Oh, hot stuff, the little devil. Yeah. See, Richie Rich dies, goes to hell, and becomes hot stuff. Because they draw all the characters exactly the same.
Right. All right. We'll get into that at some point. But we're not here to talk about Harvey Comics, although we spent an inordinate amount of time on it already. We'll cover Harvey Comics later. We're here to talk about Ahoy Comics, which is a comic book publisher that I feel like I accidentally was in on the ground floor of. But before we get into the details of the publisher, it's capital A-H-O-Y in their logo. How would you pronounce that, Jeff, if you were going to Ahoy Comics? I just say Ahoy Comics. That's got no flair.
I would say Ahoy.
Something and then like that. What about the comics part? Would you also do the pirate accent on the comic?
Ahoy Comics. No, that's just Ahoy Comics.
I'm going to send that to them. Let them see if they want to use it. I actually liked it, though, because I think it makes it sound like it's punctuated. Like if you put a comma, it's like, Ahoy Comics. Like there's comics dead ahead, Captain.
Do ye see them? There they be on the shore.
But I actually, I don't know. I was at the comic book store doing what I do and randomly walking around. And I saw one of their comics one time and I picked it up. And I guess I did not realize they're a new publisher. So you mentioned, you know, before we kicked off, we've covered a couple of their comics in the past. Mm-hmm. They were just founded in 2018. So
get out of town.
They're like 3.5 years into the business, founded by Hart Seeley, Tom Payer, who you'll see his name. He's like one of the main writers in all the books we're going to talk about. Tom Payer, Stuart Moore, Chief Creative Officer, Frank Camuso, and their thing was like here's what we're going to do. We're going to be a comic book magazine and set ourselves just a little different apart from the competition in that we're going to have some pros in there as well. And every one of their issues I enjoy has little backup features that are pros. And, you know, I don't know if you caught onto that. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the supplemental stuff outside of the main stories. The reproductions, the kind of parodies of the old ads for novelty items, the riff on the Hostess cupcake advertisements that they used to do. Fantastic. These guys really, I mean, 3 years, that doesn't seem enough time for them to be as hip and cool as they are.
They've assembled some pretty amazing talent. And so Ahoy launched in 2018 with the limited series, The Wrong Earth, which we're going to talk about Wrong Earth Night and Day today. And they had what they call like seasons or waves. And so they started with four titles, Wrong Earth, High Heaven, Captain Ginger, and Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. I actually think the first one we ever covered on the podcast was Captain Ginger that I gave Michael a copy of, because it's about evolved cats in outer space. And
that rings a bell.
Yeah. You listen to the podcast?
Every single one from day one, buddy.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thank you for sticking with us over all this time.
And I have the archive too.
but they've been steady at it ever since. And you know, so we'll talk about three different titles today. We'll talk about Wrong Earth, Night and Day, number one, which was published. I am bad at this. This was actually published January through August of 2021. So it's a series from last year, which, you know, we'll talk about it. I'm stumbling all over it now. We will also talk about Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death. They're on like season three of these Edgar Allan Poe title of books or series of books, which I like. And then the newest one of the batch, which is My Bad, which started publishing in November of 2021. It's a 5-issue limited series and will end, I believe, next month or the month after. They're on issue 3 now and they're going through 5 issues. And so we'll cover those 3 comics today and more nonsense as soon as we come back.
Please call us the Casual Comics Cast. Mr. Casual Comics Cast is my father.
Tell me if I'm going.
No, you're fine.
My energy level's too high.
It's good. No, you're good.
I'm going to take it down a notch.
Did you back off that gain? On that mic?
I did. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for our recap of all things Ahoy, or at least all three comics we thought we could fit in and talk about from Ahoy. I will warn you, Jeff, I am drinking a sparkling hop tea during the podcast today, which, if history is my guide, may cause me issues you may need to cover for me down the road with a little.
Yeah. When I'm not sipping down my diet Mountain Dew and probably having the same issues.
We're going to start with The Wrong Earth, Night and Day, which I don't have to go through the whole litany. From Ahoy Comics. Duh. That's what we're talking about. Ahoy Comics, written by Tom Payer. This is a series that I believe this is the third in the series. They started off with Wrong Earth back in 2018. They did a series called Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man spanned 2019 to 2020. And then Wrong Earth Night and Day, 6-issue limited series, wrapped up in August of 2021. So this is the third. And I thought we'd start here because, number one, we already talked about Wrong Earth, which, you want to give your brief sort of recap of the Wrong Earth universe and what you thought of it the first time you read it?
This is right up my alley. I am a huge Batman, the original TV series with Adam West and Burt Ward, huge fan of that show. And this comic book basically takes that kind of premise and juxtaposes it with the, let's say, Christian Bale Batman type universe. And it takes these two characters, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man, and in a Star Trek kind of mirror universe swap, they exchange universes. So the dark, gritty Dragonfly goes to the Biff Bang Pow universe of Dragonfly Man and vice versa. And hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues, which always happens in these type of multiversal mix-ups if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And so wait, you seem like you're able to keep them straight. I can't keep straight. Which one is the one from the 1966 Batman type world? Is that Dragonfly or Dragonfly Man?
That would be Dragonfly Man. If you say it like that, it's obvious which universe he's from.
Right. And I like the way that this issue starts off, because again, if you're jumping in with this as your starting point, I think Ahoy Comics does a good job of recognizing people. Most people, you know, who read comics there's a lot of hardcore fans, but there's a lot of people who are curious and who would read comics more if they weren't so dang convoluted. And so it just starts off with a one-page spread that says, "It's not that complicated." And they run you through exactly what you ran through on Earth Alpha. Dragonfly Man and Stinger aided police against colorful crooks. On Earth Omega, the Dragonfly maimed and tortured sadistic maniacs and corrupt officials. When at contrasting crime scenes, both figures simultaneously stepped through strange mirrors. An innocent Dragonfly Man was confined to gritty Earth Omega, while cynical Dragonfly was trapped on innocuous Earth Alpha.
Innocuous.
And when this kicks off, they've both been in the other's place, it seems like, for a while. And the book opens with a very Batman 66 type setup. Do you recall what's the actual caper going on here that these villains are trying to perpetrate?
Oh boy. You're going to ask me that question and I don't remember. Go ahead.
They're sort of this like villainous crew that is like dressed kind of like pilgrims. They're like trying to get to the deed of all the churches so that they can steal all the collection plates from all the churches, because that's where the real wealth is in this city.
Because everybody knows that those people open their pockets and they give freely of themselves. And why not? That's a lot of money.
Sure. And just like in any good Batman series, they come in, they fight the bad guys, and then they're gassed and placed in a deadly trap from which there can be no escape.
In a giant Pyrex bowl.
Which, what I just said, Jeff, if you remember, like the publisher and writer of this, one of the publishers and the writer of this is Tom Payer, P-E-Y-E-R.
Oh.
They're in a Pyrex bowl.
Payer, oh yes, absolutely. I was wondering why they misspelled that. I'm like, that's got to be something.
It's the writer of the book.
What
I like about like Ahoy Comics too is they got, like, if you're paying attention to all of the details, there's a lot of stuff woven in there. Yes, and yes. They're placed in a giant tea bag. They're going to be literally tea bagged.
That's lovely. This is actually kind of paralleling an episode of Batman.
Right.
When they were inside a giant coffee cup, which apparently was based on an old Silver Age comic book at the time. But yeah, very, very familiar stuff.
And who was the villain that placed them in the coffee cup? Do you remember?
Oh, I believe it was Catwoman.
Catwoman put them in. I was thinking Egghead, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe in an egg poacher.
Were all of Egghead's traps egg-based themed? They should be.
Oh, of course. And they were all excellent.
Well, I don't know what the giant tea bag has to do with the pilgrims who are trying to take over the church, but of course they escape, but with the help of a newly introduced character that I was so excited to see.
Oh, this is the best.
Go for it.
This is the best.
Do the introduction right, Jeff.
Okay. Batman has Batgirl. Superman has Supergirl. Dragonfly Man has...
Lady Dragonfly Man.
These guys are hilarious. I love these comics.
It's funny because you don't have to be in on every gag to think that that's kind of funny. But it's like, I literally was recounting to somebody one time how Marvel had all of these ridiculous female versions of the characters that were just put man at the, like, lady at the front of it or whatever. And there is a villain in the Marvel universe named Lady Stiltman. The villain is Stiltman. She took his gear and called herself Lady Stiltman. So Lady Dragonfly Man is pretty perfect for this kind of book.
Oh, it's great. Fantastic stuff.
But with that, but sort of with that setup, you know, again, there's extra dimensional trouble and a dragonfly man and what's the dude's name?
Stinger.
Stinger. His trusty sidekick, Stinger. We got to do. All right. I'm going to pick a page, Jeff. And at the end of this, we're going to do a Casual Comics Theater bonus for our listeners at the end. So stay tuned to the end. Sweet. And you'll hear some of the actual dialogue from this. and you'll probably get a kick out of it and be like, I wish that this guy was a better actor when you're talking about me, not about Jeff. Jeff's amazing.
Stop.
But like you said, it kicks off with a bang. Do you feel like you have to have read the original Wrong Earth to pick up what's going on here?
Not even a little bit, because they, like they said, you start with the splash page. It's not that complicated. They lay out the premise and away they go.
That is beach. It's
kids in the hall just keep coming up. No, this it takes off right away, and you just have to turn off a certain part of your mind, keep the active part of your mind that looks for Easter eggs and fun little puns and jokes, but turn off the one that says comic books have to be a certain way in order to be proper and entertaining, because they don't. It's serious, but it's fun. It's all tongue in cheek and they're having a great time with it.
I agree. I mean, I couldn't love this series any more than I actually do. And I spoiler, I've read the whole thing. It gets better too. It gets amazing.
Wow.
Did you end up reading the whole thing yet?
No, just this issue. And I kind of had to skim through it quickly. So I'm not sure I didn't pick up on everything.
I'm not going to spoil nothing for you, Jeff, but Lady Dragonfly Man is not the only new character that gets introduced in this series. So,
oh no.
Stay tuned for that. So Wrong Earth, Night and Day, big thumbs up from me. Jeff, you gonna buy, like, you barely buy anything. You buy in this one?
You know what?
Are you gonna go to the library and still try and scan the library?
No, they won't have this one. But I have seen it at my local bookstore. I've seen trade paperbacks of Wrong Earth there. So I think these folks are gaining some traction.
All right.
You know, in the world of comic book readers. So if it came out as one of those, I would absolutely snatch it up, because these are fun.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay.
This is just between you and me.
Okay.
Let's turn
our microphones off real quick.
Nobody can know this, Jeff.
I'm with you.
I am going to try and get a hold of these people at Ahoy Comics and pretend that this podcast is a big deal. And I'm going to see if I can score you some Wrong Earth swag.
Oh, get out of here.
Continuing to talk about Wrong Earth nonstop on this podcast. Not that you'd have to like fake stuff. I mean, we really like the book.
We love the book.
Bonus. And I'm going to do that because they have just announced a whole new Wrong Earth series for 2022.
Ooh.
That I am very excited for, because it's a series of one shots, each one written by a different comic book writer, some of whom are pretty big names, which you probably won't know because you're not a comic book, but Gail Simone is writing The Wrong Earth, Trapped on Teen Planet.
Okay.
Mark Russell, who we will talk about later on this podcast, is writing The Wrong Earth, Fame and Fortune. Okay. Stuart Moore, I'm not super familiar with Stuart Moore, The Wrong Earth, Purple. Mark Waid, who
didn't he write
the Flash book that we read?
I know he's
written a bunch of DC stuff, and I'm certain he may actually be the one who wrote Kingdom Come also.
It was Alex Ross, and it might have been him as well.
Mark Waid's like a huge name in comics. He is writing The Wrong Earth, Confidence Men.
Okay.
Tom Payer or Pyre. I gotta find out how to pronounce his name right. I apologize to him because he's obviously listening now, because I'm going to push this all over social. I would love to get somebody from Ahoy Comics to interview on the podcast and let us know what they're doing, because this is like my favorite publisher now.
Yeah,
he is. And I would love him to come and talk to us about his new book, The Wrong Earth Meat. And Elisa Quitney is writing Gilt, G-I-L-T, which I'm not sure what that stands for. I probably should. I could probably find out pretty easily on their website because they should be promoting the heck out of this series by now. But I couldn't be more enthusiastic about this book. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, these guys are just hitting it out of the park. Their fun quotient is off the charts, and the art's fantastic. The lettering is manual, as far as I can tell, and it looks great.
Shocker, because nobody does that anymore.
I know. Just two thumbs way, way, way up, if I can steal that.
Well,
thing.
They're not around to stop you anymore.
Well, sorry. Sadly, no.
Tear. I know. My good buddy, Roger Ebert. All right. Well, that wraps on Wrong Earth, Night and Day. Stick with us through the end of the podcast. After the theme song, we will do a casual comics theater for Wrong Earth edition. And we will be right back to discuss which book, Jeff?
My bad.
Surrender, foul miscreants, to the Casual Comics Cast.
Are we recording?
My bad. We're just going to say my bad over and over until people get irritated.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
My bad.
Thank you for sticking with us, everybody, through our discussion on Ahoy Comics today. We are now going to pick up the newest comic in the lineup that we're talking about, which is My Bad. The introduction of an all new, very important comics universe is how it's promoted. I believe very tongue in cheek, because as you see on the cover, all the heroes are at some kind of party with a banner in the background that says important superhero universe. and this is a book that, again, just jump right in. There's no legacy. There's no history. There's no nothing that you got to know before you can start reading it. It says right on the front, new valuable new IP inside. You're guaranteed to be in on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Of intellectual property that will certainly take off once people read this book. So this is actually, there's a few shorts in here. My Bad is written by Mark Russell, who, his name will come up again later in the show. Toy Ad, written by Mark Russell, the one page toy ad. My Bad, The Accelerator. Oh, I'm sorry. The original My Bad is Happy Birthday. Then there's My Bad, The Accelerator, written by Bryce Ingman. The somewhat official handbook of the important new superhero universe, Rush Hour, by Bryce Ingman also. And My Bad, 2 Minutes, Bryce Ingman. Bad Libs. Get it? Not Mad Libs, Bad Libs. So, and then Fruit Pie Ad by Mark Russell.
See, my mistake. I was ascribing all that stuff to the Wrong Earth. It's here in My Bad, all that fun little interstitial stuff.
Right? No, that's all in here. The Fruit Pie Ad. And it's, I mean, just that description of the contents of this one book alone is packed with comic goodness.
Oh, man. If you ever read a comic book in the 70s, or in the early 80s, you're going to love the special features that they throw in here, because it's just going to open up that wave of nostalgia, and it's going to make you giggle like a little kid.
just from the very opening panel of this new superhero who I knew nothing about before, who is it, am I right? The Chandelier.
The Chandelier
shines a light on the darkness of the city.
And he literally has a helmet that has dangling pieces of glass all around his face. I can't think of anything more impractical and dangerous to wear in a fight.
Are you sure? What about Loki's helmet that has the giant horns that he could probably barely... I mean, it carries on a long tradition of super impractical comic book costumes.
Or like Peacemaker's weird bedpan helmet that he wears. It just doesn't make sense.
I'm gonna be like doing bad impressions this whole podcast. But I mean, I knew I was gonna love this book just from the two crooks who are it's like the third panel. These two crooks breaking into like a storage locker, and the dialogue between them is like, "Faster, Charlie! I got a bad feeling. Oh, get off my yams." Get off my yams.
Yeah. You don't need to consult the Urban Dictionary on that one. I think we all know what he's talking about.
It's the chandelier. Need a light. So this first story is a very, how would you describe this? I mean, it's obviously like a Batman type character.
Yes, very much so. Millionaire playboy kind of guy with a secret identity. And
Ms. Butler.
Again, I skimmed very quickly, so skimmed that's about quickly. All I got.
Jeff. Well,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, like a week.
Well, okay, sure. You're right.
No, I mean, he's obviously a Batman type character with his butler, Yates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a ton of like little... one thing I like about Mark Russell is he tends to weave in social commentary into the fiction. If you'll remember, he wrote One Star Squadron, which we were reading.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Superhero gig economy. So there's a scene in this where the delivery person is coming up his walk with a package, and it's obviously supposed to be an Amazon delivery person type, and it's got a, like an ankle monitor to time how long it takes him to get to the porch and back. And the van says that he's coming from, says Department of Corrections and Job Training. And so, yes, the chandelier's secret identity in the very first one here is in jeopardy, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And you meet the chandelier's sidekick, Manchild.
Is he a sidekick? I wasn't quite picking up on that.
I think it was a Batman and Robin type situation that had a bad breakup with the chandelier and Manchild.
Manchild is basically if David Spade was a superhero sidekick.
And when he's first introduced, you're like, why is this little tiny dude who can be like much more than like 4'8"? Right. Yeah. He looks like David Spade. Why is he wearing such huge baggy clothes? And it's because
there's a reason,
right? When you make Manchild angry, he hulks out and then his clothes fit correctly. And their argument, obviously, which enrages Manchild, that led to them breaking up as a duo, is over whether live albums count as albums in your record collection.
I'm going to go with no, they don't, because they don't.
Well, I will tell you exactly what Manchild told the chandelier. Live album literally contains the word album.
But they don't count. It's just that they're live. I mean, they're fine, but...
I mean, this one story alone is like 10 pages. We could probably talk about this 10 pages for a half hour, but then boom, straight into the ads, which I love. Love the ads. Reminds me of reading comic books when I was a kid. It's just a takeoff on a sarcastic version of what. Did you have a favorite ad, one that stuck out with you, Jeff? I don't want to give away every gag in the book because people should just buy this. Was it the Brian Shrimp? Don't say the Brian Shrimp.
The bald cap is like really, really seriously dark. It's really dark, but it's hilarious. Bald cap. Oh, God. Bald Run cap. With the skinheads or pretend to have cancer. We don't care. Ethics are a lie. We tell each other. Really right. Dark stuff, but it's great. It's hilarious.
It's funny. And then, boom, you're right into the next story. The accelerator in Acceleritious. The accelerator appears to be some sort of super fast character.
He's like a speedster.
Who's from another planet and whose gig right now is opening as many fast food chicken franchises as possible.
Yay, chicken.
Any thoughts on the accelerator book? I mean, because this introduces then the major villain, who is, what's this dude's name?
Emperor King.
Emperor King. Who's trying to get people to not go to the accelerator's fast food restaurants by claiming to have found a rat in a Coke.
It didn't work for Bob and Doug. It's not going to work for you.
Did not work. Now, this one's only like 3 pages. And then, bang, it's right onto the next thing. The somewhat official handbook of the important new superhero universe, The Rush Hour. And you're like, hey, why are they introducing this new character? Well, it's because the final sort of story of this book ties in both the accelerator, Emperor King, and this Rush Hour character who gets caught in the crossfire as Emperor King has laid a trap for Accelerator the Speedster, but mistakenly ensnares a different speedster, Rush Hour, whose powers appear to be mostly traffic, or his powers are kind of speed, but he's very traffic specific about.
They're oddly specific.
Taking care of tailgaters and.
Yeah, he fights traffic related crime, if you can call it.
It's not
crime.
Even really crime. It's more maladies.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would personally love to have him on my side every morning on my way to work.
Would you? Because he seems a little irritating.
Yeah, like I said, on my side, not in the car with me, but like running alongside me, taking care of all the problems that come up.
Right. And then you go straight into some fake letters pages, which is fun. Mm-hmm. And then we get the bad libs. Let's do this. Let's have Michael do the bad libs and we'll read them on the next podcast. And and don't tell her. I'm going to just send her a thing. Don't tell her it's for the podcast.
Yeah.
And then we'll see if she actually has listened to this podcast and knows that's why I've asked her to fill out this Mad Libs form. We'll read that next time. And you close with, again, awesome, the fruit pie ad. Because those were a deal. I mean, if you're out there and you pick up this comic book and you love it as much as we did, you probably read at least some comic books when you were a kid. But for people who really didn't, you have to understand, in like the 1970s and 80s, every comic book would have a page that you kind of thought was still the comic, but turned out to be an ad mostly for Hostess Fruit Pies or Twinkies or something like that.
Yes, they were.
It was one page where the villain's plot had something to do. The plot was to do something and they were foiled by the presence of the delicious goodness of the fruit snack, the fruit pie, Hostess right. Fruit Pies.
And it was actually involving your favorite characters. I mean, it wasn't just made up little stuff. I mean, it was, say, Batman or Spider-Man or somebody, and they were chasing after the bad guys, and somehow baked goods factored into the ultimate comeuppance of the bad guy.
Right. Usually, like, somebody threw fruit pies and then it distracted the villain because he needed to get the fruit pies. I guess when you're at that level of villainy, eating floor food doesn't bug you as much. I guess it's all pre-wrapped.
Man, I gotta tell you, if I were a villain back then, all you would have had to do is like, hey, here's a apple pie. I'm like, you got any more? Because I'm gonna sit here and eat these all day. Oh man, I was a junkie on that stuff.
You went apple pie though. Oh my gosh, were you the apple pie person?
I was.
Oh my gosh. I
was absolutely. The cherry was fine, but apple was just
no cherry.
Bring them.
No, the apple were like, apple made me sad when my parents brought home apple pies.
So are you a cupcake or a ding dong man?
That's a personal question. I have to say. I'm trying to remember the cupcakes. What were the
cupcakes? Were just the cupcakes, but they had that little swirl.
And then the ding dongs that rolled? They were like Swiss.
Ding dongs were basically cream filled hockey pucks.
Okay, no, not those. Cupcakes, big time. Gotta get that icing. We'll have to, man. I got so many ideas for an actual good podcast.
Yeah, this is a bonus podcast, right?
This is a bonus podcast, big time. Okay. This and be surprised, be excited, people, because this is amazing. We're gonna spend 5 minutes talking about our favorite snacks, our favorite fruit pies, and yes, what were the ones that were the little rolled, like they were like. They were rolled and they're iced on the outside, but they had cream in the middle. What were those?
That's a ho-ho.
I'm losing my mind on these things.
Ding dongs, ho-hos, cupcakes. Good stuff.
So were you a cupcake person or were you the
cupcakes were kind of rare for us. We almost never saw those. Ho-hos, sure. We'd see those every once in a while. But
the best on the cupcakes or on the ho-hos was if it stuck to the little cardboard that was at the bottom and some frosting was left and you scrape it off with your finger and eat that leftover frosting that was stuck to the, or the leftover meniscus of the cupcake that had stuck to the cardboard packaging.
Yeah. By gnawing on your thumbnail.
The tragedy on the cupcakes is because that icing was amazing. If that got stuck to the plastic though, because it had gotten too warm, when you peeled it apart, it was all, oh man, that was a tragedy. It's a tragedy.
Yeah. One of the things that I found a little bit weird about the cupcake is that under the right conditions, you could peel the entire frosting layer right off the cake.
And then you saw that that was where they filled it. They filled it and then put the icing on top.
Right. And then it's like, it's where the illusion's ruined.
Now I want a cupcake big time. I wonder where I can go get one right after we're done recording here. Or maybe I can order from Uber Eats right now.
I was going to say, what if they had buildings where they sold lots and lots of prepackaged foods? That would be really kind of convenient and good.
Are cupcakes still a thing? Can you buy them? They are?
Yeah. I don't buy them personally because I can't do sugar anymore. But other than that, yeah, I see them at the grocery store all the time.
I mean, and you and me, you know, I'm from Omaha originally. You're in Omaha. Dolly Madison was the big thing then.
They were pretty big here.
Sponsoring all the Charlie Brown specials.
Yep.
And then
they had Zingers.
They had Zingers, which were the Twinkie kind of knockoff thing, except they were iced on top.
They were fruity, or they had coconut all over them, or they were a little different.
I liked Zingers. Don't badmouth the Zingers. There were two Zingers. There was the yellow and the brown.
Well, no, there were red ones.
No.
With little coconut on top. Sure. There was all kinds of different kinds of Zingers.
Those were good. Those Zingers that had raspberry in the middle and had coconut on them, those were good. Mm-hmm. But man, those ones that were just nice, and I didn't care if they were the vanilla or the chocolate. Those man, they're ice. They were like, for people who don't know, because you didn't have a Dolly Madison nearby, they were like better Twinkies, except with this thick, really sweet icing on top that again you could peel off. It would come off in one piece if you wanted to peel it off. Nice, sure. And it's like a fondant, except good.
Yeah, exactly. Except good. Exactly right. A machine applied fondant.
Yes. What else did Dolly Madison have? I don't know. Who made snowballs?
Oh, I you know what? The devil made snowballs because they were horrible.
Those are evil. All right. Well, it's time to wrap up our discussion on the fruit snacks or the fruit pies. Man, during the next break, I'm going to go get something. I don't even know. I think we got a gluten-free cake upstairs somewhere, which is, man, it'll do it in a pinch, older, man. I guess. It'll do in a pinch. It's not my gluten-free cake. There's somebody else in this household that's gluten-free, and then I'm left with that. But we got to answer one last question, though, because you and I were on separate sides of this apple pie and cherry pie thing. Pudding pies, yes or no?
Chocolate, yeah, absolutely.
Chocolate? Yeah, I guess I'm talking about... They had the ones that had vanilla and there were iced chocolate on the outside.
Ugh.
Those were, I lived on those in high school. I was like doing, I had first period study hall, which then meant it was just free reign. And that's when I'm eating breakfast. Breakfast of champions, man. The hostess vanilla pudding pie with chocolate icing and a can of Mountain Dew. And I was ready. Oh.
My God.
Straight for English class, second period.
How do you have any of your own teeth at this point?
Brush your teeth round and round, circles. Oh, man, too much Saturday morning.
We make holes in teeth. We make holes in teeth.
All right, now we've gone really off the deep end, and I don't have the energy to go back and edit all this out. So,
Sorry, anyway, everybody. Comic books.
This is what your brain feels like when you read my bad. It's just confectionery delight. It's like reading it is like being on a sugar high and eating too many Hostess snacks, and then you're ready to talk about it and talk about it and then talk about everything
and then crash and pass out for 9 hours.
That will be me later. But you know, it sounds like I don't need to ask two huge recommendations for my bad also. So when we get right back, last book we're talking about today is Edgar Allan Poe's, is it Snifter of Death or Snifter of Terror? Which one did we read?
Snifter of Death. And if you liked all of the talk of sugary stuff here, just wait till we come back with that.
And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Yay, chicken!
All right. Did you get a snack, Jeff?
I did. I got roasted almonds.
How did you go from fruit pies to roasted almonds?
Because I am a man of a certain age who has dietary restrictions.
All right. So we're 2 for 2 so far on our Ahoy comics of just being generally in love with these. And now we're going to talk about Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death, right? Snifter of Death, number one?
I believe so. Not Snifter of Terror.
Oh, my bad. See what I did there?
I did. That was very clever.
Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death in this series came to us in... They've had several Edgar Allan Poe series. And this is one of the first books they ever published, was Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. 6 issues, bunch of different writers. They're all sort of the same format as this book. So you had Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror, Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror Season 2, Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Blood, Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death is what they're on now. And we read the first issue of Snifter of Death intentionally because it is a bunch of short stories, and I wanted to be like, Jeff, I don't think you've read one of these before. Do you need to know sort of what's going on, or can you just pick up Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death and start reading it and be amused right away?
Well, let's just say that I've never read one before. I picked it up cold, and I skimmed, like I said, I did the other ones. I skimmed. I'm like, oh, there's something going on here. And I went back and I reread it, and I'm like, I love this story. Because now I get it, and it's hilarious.
So you start at the very beginning. There's a lot of gags in here about Edgar Allan Poe being a super alcoholic. So it's Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death, Tales of Mystery and Inebriation.
And he's trick-or-treating and getting shooters.
Right. So trick or evil treat on Richard Williams' liver-smashing cover. Mark Russell and Peter Snejbjerg.
Wow. I butchered Peter, that. We apologize.
Serve up sugary teeth rotting terror. Stuart Moore and Frank Camusso reveal Poe's mind-wrecking origin. I love it. So like you said, Jeff, you probably, you know, you skimmed. And so you missed the fact that the first short story in here by Mark Russell is called The Monster Serials, S-E-R-I-A-L-S, A Devil's Advocate. So this is actually one that it, and this is the one that I actually picked the book for you to read because of this story. It started in some of the earlier issues. So if you want to know more of this story, you go back to some of the previous issues and they have the Monster Serials story. But your sort of protagonist in this is a vampire.
The Marquis de Coco.
The Marquis de Coco. And they're at the, like, it starts off right here, Jeff. Come on. It's like, you got to, like, read it. They're in Aix en Provence.
Which I didn't pick up on the first time, but I do now. And you look at all the, oh, okay. Well, spill the beans.
So there's no spoiler here because it's called The Monster Serials. The premise is, what if all of the monsters and all of the mascots from all of the cereals that you ate
breakfast
as a
cereals.
Kid yeah. are like, that's its own, like, now comic book universe, and they're all characters, and this is their story, and this is,
and they're
why
telling
they're
it seriously,
right?
They're telling a serious story, but they're using all these cereal mascots,
right? Through the entire series that I've read of the Monster Serials, you get the Marquis de Coco is sort of the primary person whose story they're following,
and he's a vampire, so do right. the math.
His hair looks like Count Chocula. So and so it follows his story, but all the ancillary characters are also from breakfast cereals. And in this, it starts off with him being tied to a stake and being threatened to be burned at the stake until they're interrupted by a Quaker, a man of the law.
Looks remarkably like a guy I've seen on a big tubular container of cereal.
Right. And so, I mean, you can follow. It's, I don't know. It's fun. I thought you tell the story. I've read it, Jeff. I mean,
it's lots of fun.
It was funny to me. What was funny to me is I picked this because I knew you would get it, and you would get all the Monster Serial stuff, and you would like get a kick out of it. And maybe it was you were skimmed. You didn't click the first time that that's what it was about, but you still like said you liked the book, even not knowing that.
Well, okay. So I'm skimming the book and I'm seeing all these things like, well, that's a serial reference. That's weird. Okay. Then they keep going. Well, there's another one. What? Okay. I, Huh. And then there's this one. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The name of this is The Monsters. Oh my God. And then I went back and I just had a party trying to find all the little Easter eggs and hidden serial references. And there's tons of them.
Yes.
It was so much fun.
Which was your favorite Easter egg you found in this book? Your favorite serial reference?
Okay, here it is. They're in the town of Chex en Provence.
Yep.
Okay. If you look at all the thatched roofs on all of the houses, they are Chex biscuits. I don't know if you picked up on that or not, but I'm like, holy cow, look at that.
I didn't even notice that. And I've read it many times.
Go back and look. They're Chex biscuits.
I'm looking at it now. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then there's that family crest that is the two spoons crossed over each other. It's, hey, breakfast
right?
cereal.
The two spoons, the there's a scene that it's every time I read it. I did not, this has got to be the third time or fourth time I've read this. And I did not notice until there's a scene where there's a restaurant, I believe. Yeah, it's a restaurant where all of the people have been murdered by a vampire. And it's just a flashback to the scene where they're accusing him. And the restaurant name is Je m'appelle Jacques.
And I'm not sure what that has to do with a cereal reference.
You're not,
but no.
Jacques is French for Jack.
Yeah,
Apple.
My name
Jack.
Is Jack.
But Apple.
Apple.
Jacks.
Oh my!
I get
God.
It. It's my name is Jack in French, but Apple
didn't.
Jacques.
Boy, I'm so ashamed of myself. I didn't get that one. Cinnamon toasty. Goodness in Easter eggs.
It's deep, man. It's deep. They get like a scene that shows the sun, and the sun is the sun from the Raisin Bran box.
Yeah, he's yawning and stretching.
So it starts with the Marquis de Coco and the clutches of the evil, or not the evil, but I mean, you know, he's the vampire, they're not, but in the mob who want to put him to death.
Mm-hmm.
And It's the story of, will the Count escape and continue on his journey for his lost wife, who he's in love with, on the road to Fortress Honeycomb?
That was the first one that made me go, hey, wait a minute. Honeycomb hideout? Really?
A honeycomb hideout. And again, this is written by Mark Russell. I actually feel like we'll probably wind up doing a podcast at some point about writers, and if we do one, Mark Russell's got to be sort of our starting point, because he wrote One Star Squadron, which we loved.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the story in My Bad. He writes these monster serials. He has also written, what I would love to talk about is for DC Comics, he did some modern day interpretations of classic intellectual property. He did a Flintstones series, and he did a Snagglepuss series.
The Snagglepuss series. I remember you talking about that one.
Right. And then the other book that I want to pick up that he wrote is he did a reboot of The Wonder Twins.
Ooh. Which
I would love to see, because that was the big shocking news that I heard. And we got to cover that. And the news notes of our next podcast is they're doing a Wonder Twins show for HBO Max, I think. I think it's a movie. They're doing a Wonder Twins movie. And it's got to be based off of his recent comic book reboot. Because there's no way they're just trying to make a movie off the Wonder Twins from the old TV show.
Well, that's kind of weird. Does DC own the characters of the Wonder Twins? Because they were created by Filmation for the Super Friends TV show.
I don't know. Some Filmation probably got bought by somebody who got bought by somebody who got bought by somebody that wound up being owned by Warner Brothers. That's my guess.
That sounds about right, probably.
The brothers Warner.
And there's so many characters in the DC universe that didn't originate there anyway, because DC ended up, you know, buying a bunch of comic book companies over the years.
Like Shazam.
Well, and Peacemaker.
Right.
I didn't know Peacemaker wasn't originally a part of the DC universe.
But you love Peacemaker. I was surprised you love Peacemaker. You said watch it with the family. The kids will love it.
No, I did not. I most certainly said nothing of the sort. Good Lord, it's practically pornography.
Oh, I gotta watch it then.
it's very, very hard R. If you've seen The Suicide Squad, it's a continuation of that story.
Yeah. I don't know. I got too many things on my list of things to watch.
Yeah.
I'll watch The Boys, you watch Peacemaker. We'll keep each other apprised of the situation.
Sounds like a plan.
The second story in this is Evermore, Edgar Allan Poe. They tend to put in a lot of stuff in here that if you're a Poe fan, you'll kind of get.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like the origin of Edgar Allan Poe. Not as jokey, but still clever and a modern twist on, you know, adds modern sensibilities to sort of the lore of Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm. And the artwork is decidedly more leaning towards, say, a Harvey Comics kind of a thing, but with like a Renan's Stimpy twist to it.
Right. Right. So this issue, I picked this one because it's because it does have the monster serial story. And in a lot of the other Edgar Allan Poe books, there'll be sort of a modern, or not a modern, but a different twist on an Edgar Allan Poe story. So they'll take like Telltale Heart and they'll change the story and tell it in a different way. What I do like is, and you noted it, is very different art styles. So the writers are being paired with different artists throughout. So unlike My Bad, where it was written by multiple people, but the art style stayed the same, they very much try and match the art style to the tone of the story that the writer's telling. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you got some prose in the back of each book, which is just a bonus for I think, you know, fun. And none of those, I've considered trying to submit something to them at some point, because I used to be half a writer at one point in my history. Yeah. I think their guidelines are nothing longer than like 1500 words. So they're short. You can read them quick. Any of those catch your eye, or you were just glad to have?
I gotta be honest. By the time I got to this book, which was the last one that I read, I kind of dog-eared those. And I'm like, I'm going to come back to those and read them. But for right now, I just have time to get through the main stories. Right. But I definitely want to come back and read those, because the things that I have read have really paid off. They're wonderful and they're fun. And they got a little. So did I read these? Not yet, but I will.
Well, that's fair. I mean, it does. And when I read them, that's sort of how I do it, right? It's like, I'll read the comic and I'm like, okay, I've read the comic. Now I'm in the mood, you know, later in the evening or the next day or something, like, I'm going to pick it up and read the short stories, because they're always worth reading. But it's a bit of a shifting of gears. But.
It's absolutely a shifting of gears. And it's really important to go back and read them. Like, for example, if you ever read the original Watchmen, there's all kinds of supplemental things at the back of the book that are really super important to read, because it adds to the overall story.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's happening here, but you are getting jokes and fun stuff that will pay off in and of itself.
Well, it's interesting. And, you know, you can tear through a comic book if you're an avid reader, you know, in 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Right.
And then so it gives you that little bit more, where it's like they're going to add some prose in, and then getting through that, you know, it's like one page of material that'll you'll spend another 5-10 minutes on. So you get a little more bang for your buck, especially when comics are like $3.99 and $4.99 now.
Right. And like you said, it's not really comics. It's a comics magazine with all these different features in it. So, yeah, I mean, it's part of the experience. Don't skip them.
I'm a fan. I like it. Mm-hmm. I don't want people skipping it if I ever write one, which I never will. I say I will, but I won't.
I bought this new comic. Joe wrote something in the back of it. And, oh, hey, this is a really good comic story. And I'll get to Joe.
I've come to know myself too well, Jeff. I want to do it, but I never will. I barely had the effort. I made the effort to get a sound machine for the podcast. I never use it, right?
So no. Delightful.
This is enough of a hobby for me.
Sure.
But I don't need to. Now we're going to get into therapy. Now I am coming down off my sugar high from My Bad. And I'm getting to a dark place, Jeff.
You know what? All it takes is putting finger to keyboard.
Just don't tell me where to put my finger, Jeff. Don't tell me where to put my finger.
Look, it's getting a little too dark. It's a family podcast, remember?
All right. Now, this was great. So, big fan of Edgar Allan Poe. I am a big fan of all the books. Sounds like you like the one. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I am. Sounds like you like the one that you read. Worth again checking out. Even if you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, if you get interested in the monster serials, you may want to start over at the beginning of some of those. And the beauty is, if you can't make it to your comic book shop, all of these. You know, I'm not a You hear the hard time I give Michael about digital comics, because she reads them on her phone, which is like just ridiculous. Right. Don't
it's
ever do that.
It's hard to read. Yeah.
Don't do that. That's not a real thing. Don't do comics one panel at a time. But if you got a digital reader, I have been enjoying digital comics. So you can always pick up and enjoy any of these comics at any time just by checking out your favorite comic book reading app and picking them up.
Yep. I read them on my Kindle Fire one panel at a time, and it works.
Not one panel at a time.
It's not the best way, but it's a way.
Do you have a tiny Kindle?
I do. It's one of these Kindle Fire. It's not a full size Kindle.
Come on. All right. I'll get you a full size.
No, you don't.
I told you the other day. I'm like, I have a Kindle that I found that is decommissioned in our home and nobody's using it. And I have another one exactly like it that I use. And I was like, I'll send it to you. And you're like, oh, I have a Kindle, which was fine. But you didn't tell me it was like a little mini Kindle. Now I feel bad. No wonder you have to skim these comics.
No. It's perfectly fine. Maybe we can have a listener contest to give away your Kindle.
Okay. With that, too much fun with Edgar Allan Poe and his snifter of death. Highly recommended. We'll be back to wrap up and talk about what's next.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Do not mock us, for we are rich in oats and learning.
We're in the home stretch now, man.
All right.
Thanks for sticking with us again, everybody. I think I said that three times already, but it's genuine. It is not an artificial thank you for sticking with us, because I know it can be. I know how I feel. I'm going to dark places again, Jeff. I know how I feel.
We're very grateful for all of you sitting there at home or in your car or wherever at work, listening to us babble on about breakfast cereal and fruit pies and comic books.
Yep.
And we're in a happy place, right?
We are. This is great. I am going to really go get myself. I think it is. I think I need some sugar. I need a sugar rush at this point. And we got to get to that. We promised our listeners, stick through the end if you want to for a Comic Theater Presents. We'll give you a little taste of Wrong Earth Night and Day. Coming up on the podcast, we have March Madness fast approaching. So the Batman's coming up. We'll get to that in a couple weeks because we won't see it before we record the next podcast. But on the next podcast, I am going to talk about our plans for March Madness. We're going to do a comic book themed bracket where we're going to have votes and we're going to have debates, and we're going to eventually get to the number one comic, either comic book or comic character. I haven't decided yet. Again, I could barely read all the books and get ready for this show. I will put my brain to it over the next 7 days, I promise. And when we're back, we will tell you all about the Casual Comics Cast March Madness specials that are on the way. Until then, enjoy yourselves, people. Be nice to each other. Jeff says visit Metropolis, Illinois. It's a fun place to be.
It really is a small town with a big, big heart.
All right. Well, with that, thank you for joining us, everybody. And we will see you around soon. Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers, buddy. And cheers, everyone.
If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy. At our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com. Or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.
Good evening. And welcome to another edition of Comic Book Theater.
Brace yourself, Stinger. If I can get this gauntlet pocket open, I'll drop a sonic charge that should easily shatter the kettle.
What? But that would condemn Pilgrim's Progress and his gang to the excruciating toxic death they planned for us.
It's the only way, son.
It can't be. The Dragonfly Man I know would never stoop to the level of crooks and killers, even in self-defense, unless... Oh, I see what you're doing, Dragonfly Man. Lightening the tension by making a ridiculous joke. Oh, you don't have to worry about my morale. You and I have been in and out of worse scrapes than this.
Sorry, son. I'll just have to make it up to you somehow.
And
see.
Dun, dun, dun.
This has been Comic Book Theater,